cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's...
Hello, I'm Dr. E. Faye Williams, National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women. And you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Growing up in the church, two queer folks got the call and came together. I am Daffo the Flower with the God Glower.
I'm Jay Barber, everybody's uncle and father. We're here offering a sanctuary for queer folks. Here, we believe God is for everybody. This is the Fellowship Hall on Inside Out.
Yes, yes. The Inside Out Collective is one of the only LGBTQIA+ focused show on terrestrial radio. It illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the LGBTQIA+ experience. We are proud to be a part of the legacy of cutting-edge public affairs programming on WPFW, home of Jazz and Justice Radio. Inside Out airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on 89.3 FM and WPFWFM.org. We thank you for continuing to support WPFW, where the truth is told and the community is supported. We have no corporate sponsors. All we have is you, the people. And for that, we are grateful. So on today's episode of the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks, we are talking about Pride Month and the importance of LGBTQIA+ affirming churches and religious organizations. We have two special guests joining us shortly from the Table Church DC. So stay close and give us a call if you are a member of an LGBTQIA affirming church or religious organization, because we'd love to hear what you are doing, what you have done for Pride, what you are doing year round, all the things. So give us a call at 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. What up, Jay Barber? How you feeling, baby?
I'm feeling good. Feeling good. Yeah. Surviving this Pride Month, you know, making it through.
All
staying
the things.
Hydrated. Yep. Yep.
You got to stay hydrated. You must stay hydrated because it's all of the things that are just going on, that's happening, you know. And then we still got work. You know, today was my last day. God bless DCPS and all the people and the students and the teachers, because y'all still in there, in it to win it, huh?
In it to win it. God bless. Doing our best around there.
Yeah, I'm with it. You soon shall be free, Jay. You soon shall be free.
So, Friday, give me strength.
Look, holding on. Absolutely. So again, like on this episode, we are talking about LGBTQIA+ affirming churches and faith organizations. And we just want to shout out Union Temple in Southeast DC and their Agape Ministry for what just took place there maybe like a week and a half, a couple weeks ago. So check out this clip.
I'm Reverend Anika Wilson Brown. I'm the lead pastor here at Union Temple Baptist Church. Here at Union Temple, we have a hall of history where many of our prolific leaders are represented. And today, we're excited on World Pride Month to acknowledge and celebrate our ancestor, Bayard Rustin, for his impact on civil rights, his impact on liberation, and the movement of empowerment of all of God's children and all of God's people.
Because this is a very important effort as we look at the history of the Black church in terms of how it has not related to those who are gay or queer. We have always at Union Temple been on the cutting edge of history, making those bold, courageous decisions to step forward and to lead the way for others. So it is important for us today, as we celebrate here at Union Temple, to use this as a challenge and an encouragement to all other Black churches, not only in the Washington metropolitan area, but throughout this nation, to embrace our brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, who may be gay or queer.
This event is so important because it's Pride, and it's not just Pride, but it's World Pride. And this is a tremendous occasion to make sure that all people, LGBTQ+IA people, know that they are loved and accepted, not just by God, but also the house of God.
I am Minister Ronnie James here at Union Temple Baptist Church, and today is an amazing historical day for us. We are installing Bayard Rustin, but it's very important to me that we have him displayed on our history wall, along with Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and all the other great Black African-American historical people.
Oh, shout out to Union Temple in Southside, D.C., and their Agape Ministry. That was Jade Flower Foster, you heard. She was like the third person, a former member of the Fellowship Hall. I just want to shout out Jay Flower.
We miss you, Jay.
I know we miss you. Come back. Come back. No, keep thriving, boo. It's all good. But, you know, it's just so important that churches don't exclude the LGBTQIA or people just because they happen to be a part of community. And I'm just very grateful for Union Temple for having that foresight and that current leadership to do these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would agree. I went to that last film screening that they had at the church or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, very powerful. Like it was really nice to be in that space.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that was their like inaugural meeting, the Agape Ministry. It was like, you know, we're here, we're queer, we ain't going nowhere. We're doing this here at Blackity Black Baptist Union Temple, you know what I mean? So, it was a lovely time, and all of the leaders are doing excellent work. They also walked in the World Pride Parade.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, with Riverside and a couple of other churches, but it was amazing. Shout out to churches that walk in pride parades and don't damn people to hell, fire and brimstone, all these things, because you are being yourself the way God made you.
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen and amen. Right.
We need community. Folks need community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, yeah, we'll get more into that. We'll get more into that later. But we have a sermonic selection coming up. So I don't even listen to this artist. I don't even listen to like alt Christian. I listen to alt rock, but I haven't gotten into alt Christian music, right? But I was doing some research. And so our first sermonic selection is from an alt Christian artist named Semler. Child of an Episcopalian priest, Semler creates alt Christian songs about their life as a member of the LGBTQIA plus community and a Christian and the conflicts they faced over the years. So like I said, when I was looking this up and I saw the lyrics and I heard, I was like, yo, this is perfect for today. So I know it's not gospel and that's okay. It's Christian music and alt Christian to be exact, but check out the lyrics. This right here is Faith by Semler.
Jesus Christ, who are you?
When my religion turned against me,
They said my hopes and dreams are faulty. I showed the holes inside my hands, and they claimed they couldn't see. So I've been walking with a blindfold towards the promise of revival. And it's not the one you preach, it's the one we need. You got me singing hallelujah, and I don't even wanna do it. I'm just trying to be free. We're just dying for some peace. But I still have faith. You don't know me. Don't pretend I'm not your body. I'm your friend, I am your kin. Why won't you let me in? You with power lend an ear. You with power lend a hand. What a lovely house you built. What a shame it's made of sand. Our God is good and able, and our God is flipping tables at the mess of love we made. But I still have
Buddy, that was Faith by Similar. And this is the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks, a part of the Inside Out Collective on WPFW 89.3 FM. Yo, those lyrics are so perfect for our topic today. And like, I was just so happy to find it because, like I said, I don't listen to that type of music. I might now, but I really never heard of Similar or this song. And it's just so wild just how it perfectly fit into what we are talking today. Like, you know, the conflict inside that queer people and members of the LGBTIA community face with faith and God and what they've been told about what God hates or loves about them and how God speaks to queer people, not just to call them out or, you know, not just to be like, oh, this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. I don't even know if that's God, but everybody's journey is different. But God does speak to queer people. God does love and embrace all of God's people. And I just really dig the lyrics of that song. Have you ever heard that song, Jay?
No, this is the first time.
Yeah.
It was.
I'm not mad at all. A little alt-Christian, alt-rock, you know?
I like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, tonight we have two special guests with us from Table Church DC. Please welcome Goeth, the Director of Community Formation, and Antonio, the Director of Prayer, to the Fellowship Hall.
Yay, welcome y'all. Come on off of mute.
Thank you.
Hey, good.
Thank you for having both of us here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're glad that you all had the time. I know it was short notice, but very glad that things worked out. And we're excited about having you on. So, yeah, no. So you're a part of the Table Church DC. Tell us about your church, your religious organization.
I'll let Gwiff start out and I can fill in any gaps Gwiff leaves.
Sure. Thanks, Antonio. So the Table Church DC is a church that believes in the beautiful gospel that is feminist, anti-racist, queer-affirming, anti-ableist, and really leans into care for the earth. It's a lot of people have called it a unicorn of a church because when they come, they're like, there's really a place like this? There's really a church like this?" And it's an incredible congregation, incredible community, living and breathing the gospel through Holy Spirit's help and graces. And it values a lot of wonderful things like radical friendship, improvisation, play, fun, holy curiosity. And the pastors there are Pastor Tanetta and Pastor Anthony. And they've been at the helm leading the mission and the vision of the church to really bless the DC area.
Amazing, amazing. I gotta pull up on y'all.
Yeah, Daphne, we need to do that.
Absolutely. Field trip. Go ahead, Jay. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, you didn't cut me off. So I have a question. How does your church engage in social justice and advocacy related to LGBTQIA plus rights?
Yeah, Antonio, would you like to share? Or?
Sure. I think one of our main contributions every year is that we march in DC Pride. And I think that's a really powerful moment because, you know, there are a lot of affirming churches in some sense in the DC area. But I think what makes us unique is that we are non-denominational. We are not affiliated with, you know, one of the Protestant churches like Episcopalian or Baptist. And why that's important is that I feel like we get to draw a diverse crowd of spiritual backgrounds. At our church, we have former Mormons, former Catholics, former Baptists, former Pentecostals. And our service speaks to everyone. And I think that's not always true for a lot of affirming churches in DC, especially our church runs very young professional and young family. And a lot of these peer churches tend to be older and more white, and we're pretty diverse. And so being able to be, you know, a visible presence in DC Pride, and we usually have an uptick in our attendance after Pride, because so many people who are queer, you know, may want to go to church, but they want to be able to be gay and hear gospel music. And you can't do that at a lot of Catholic churches, right? And at the table, you can. We have like Black people who were raised in Pentecostal Baptist churches and are singing Kirk Franklin on a Sunday morning at our Fort Todd in service. And so I think for us, really being visible and to say, God loves queer people, you belong, and to do it in a parade where that voice, unfortunately, is not oftentimes heard is one of, in my opinion, our major sort of justice-oriented outreaches.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, people want to be gay and worship God, plain, like simple and plain. Like, I don't know, I remember, like, I don't know, like, my church I go to now, Dayspring Community Church, it's a Baptist church, but it's affirming, and we don't walk in pride, but maybe this is something that I could take, you know, take more of a lead on and whatnot. But I think I separated from the church a little bit after maybe like college and all of that. I was like, you know, I don't know about this. I feel, you know, I don't necessarily feel like I belong or feel so accepted, but God has always been a part of me, or worship or fellowshipping with God, gospel music with God's people has always been a part of me. I've always felt it and been drawn to it. So, you know, I got older, went back to the church, so on and so forth. But it's really a liberating and a beautiful experience having that communal relationship with God and also an intimate personal relationship with God at an affirming place that doesn't think you're going to hell just because of how God made you, or, you know, you got to put on your dress when you go because you can't look too masculine or whatever because, you know, it's not allowed, so on and so forth. So I just really appreciate that about you all, hearing what you just said.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty powerful in terms of like DC having so many transplants, people who come from all parts of the U.S. and internationally, you know, come to D.C. So, you know, looking for a church family and coming from so many diverse backgrounds. So it's really cool that you guys are open to everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So so the leadership of your church is LGBTQIA plus?
Yeah, absolutely. Pastor Tanana Landis-Anna is a queer Black woman, deeply rooted in the faith and the gospel, comes from the Southern Baptist church tradition, Kojic, Pentecostal, charismatic, and it's just incredible. Just sort of every Sunday to see the representation of just beautiful rainbows, just fully representing the image of God, because we are created in God's image. And the thought of how we can impact not only DC proper, but the greater communities at large, just by being who we are, is just incredible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I remember you saying, and it's female led. My church is also female led. So I also feel a sense of pride about that as well. But shout out to the church being feminist, you know, like what? When you said that, it was like, ooh, okay. I like that. But yeah, shout out to your pastor. Shout out to all of y'all. Cause it seems like y'all are doing a marvelous thing. How long have you been a member? How long have you been with the Table Church, both of you?
Yeah, I can start. I got to the Table Church in 2022. I moved to DC in 2021 and I found it a few months after I arrived, and it's been amazing to see how the church has grown. I started out in Griff's current role, co-director of community formation. I'm now co-director of prayer and liturgy. And I'm also on a preaching team. And so letting myself as a Black queer person, like, pray publicly and preach publicly. I don't know what other churches in the DC area will do that readily. And not just like being a figurehead, right? Like, we get to express our opinions about trans folk and Black Lives Matter. And, you know, it's not just about having Black faces and queer bodies, it's about having our perspectives infiltrate and really contaminate, I would say, spaces that were not designed to host us, right? Even at our church, we use different pronouns for God. We'll call Holy Spirit she, her. And I think that's important just to break down the stereotypes, right, that we have about God in like a very, you know, white, cisgender, heteropatriarchal manner. And I think having people in leadership that reflect all of God's people and different gender identities. And I mean, we have trans worship leaders, right? Like, there's just a beautiful way in which we all have a seat at the table that God has laid for us.
Absolutely. The programming is real, huh? The programming is very real that you have to break up out of. So I love that. And you, Goeth? Am I saying your name right? Please let me know. Is it Gwith? Goeth? I'm so sorry.
Thanks so much for asking. It's Gwith. It's short. Well, it's the meaning of it is God with. So just Gwith.
Got it. Yeah. Love it.
And I started going to the table around the spring of 2024. And it was just such a blessing to find a community that felt like a spiritual home. Being a Black lesbian, In today's day and age, finding a spiritual community that really reflects the fullness of the gospel was just incredible. And I started to get plugged in. And before I knew it, I was co-leading the queer Bible study along with my trans sibling in Christ, and had the privilege of being invited to the helm of co-director of community formation. And it's the full spectrum of the rainbow is at the table and is representative of the queer community at large. And as Antonio said, everyone has a place at the table, at the Table Church. So it's been such a wonderful adventure.
Wow, nice. So what have been some of the most rewarding and challenging aspects of your journey within the church, within ministry? What would you say some of those things are?
I can start.
Sure.
So when I got to the table in 2022, it was actually the first affirming church I've been to. In college and in law school and, you know, in my young adulthood, I always went to non-affirming churches, in part because I felt like that's where God's presence was. A lot of affirming churches I found did not have the type of spiritual environment I wanted. You know, I grew up in a Black church that my grandparents founded. It was Pentecostal. And so if you try to trade that in for a Presbyterian service, it feels lacking oftentimes, not because there's anything wrong with Presbyterian services, but just like what you grew up in, right? Like I grew up with people prophesying and speaking in tongues. And so, you know, going to churches where things are more solemn, that was really difficult. And so despite being a queer person, I still gravitated towards spaces that were more energetic in their worship style. But the table has been a beautiful place where we have diverse worship styles. You can be yourself. And for me, that's been a real blessing. I do think the challenges still come from being in communities where there are very distinct worship styles. You know, one of my friends at church grew up in a Mormon church. And so she doesn't even know gospel music because she was Black, right? Like there's this interesting dynamic where you have to, you know, make room for different experiences and like letting that cultivate into a beautiful community. But it also means that like, you know, it's almost like going to a potluck, like you get to have your dish, but you're gonna eat some stuff that like you may not have been anticipating to be on the menu. And that's both beautiful and difficult sometimes, right? Because, you know, sometimes people put raisins in their potato salad and you're like, okay, well, I guess we're here. And I think that happens theologically, it happens socially at a place like the table. But I also think it makes you grow and it makes you see the diversity of God's like gospel and the people who are helping to pursue it.
Nice. Very nice. Gareth, did you have anything to add?
Sure. I resonate with a lot of what Antonio shared. I come from a very diverse Christian background. Started out in the Kojic Church. Then there was Baptist. There was Apostolic, Charismatic, Prophetic. Then there was African Methodist Episcopal, Wesleyan, other liturgical traditions. And it was always challenging being surrounded by a narrative that being in God's image only looked a certain way, and you had to fit that cookie cutter outline of representing the very nature of God. And but Christ has always been so kind and generous towards me through Holy Spirit, and just really being grounded in prayer and music and the scriptures helped me on my journey and getting to a place and to be able to stand in the fullness of my queer identity in Christ without any shame. And I've been on the journey of being in different religious circles and Christian communities that when you really get to the nitty-gritty of it, don't really fully reflect the beautiful gospel through the liberation of Jesus Christ, and perhaps well-meaning according to their their ideals and their values kind of gingerly put me towards conversion therapies or programs that were very toxic and created much more harm than good. But again, thanks to God and their wonderful, endearing presence, just brought me patiently along that journey of being like, this is who I am in Christ, and led me to find wonderful communities, religious and otherwise, where I can be fully who I am. And like the scripture says, worship God authentically in spirit and truth as who I am in Christ. And it's been beautiful. And the table has been a wonderful part of my journey.
I love hearing that.
Powerful. Very good.
Very much so. And I love hearing that for queer people or members of the LGBTQIA community. I love hearing that they feel loved and accepted by God, and it's not just because they're making it up, but it's because it's true and it is the actual truth. You know, Jesus hung out with, you know, the tax collectors, the sex workers, you know, all of these people, and Jesus was just about love and acceptance and showing people how to move in love with each other, going closer to the will of God, or going closer to God and growing closer to God and having that intimate relationship. So that's beautiful. But for both of you all, that warms my heart. Truly, truly.
And not to stop us, but this is the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks, a part of the Inside Out Collective on WPFW 89.3 FM. We'll be right back after this quick station break.
Hi. I'm Robin Holder.
And this is Miyuki Williams.
The Jazz and Justice Festival happens Sunday, June 22nd, from noon until 8 p.m.
Presented by WPFW in collaboration with Washington Parks and People. The event is an activation of music, poetry, social justice teachings, elder circle, visual arts, wellness, children's activities, and more. It takes place in Malcolm X Park and the Josephine Butler Center, located at 16th and Euclid Streets Northwest.
Performers in the park include Saiz Kamaladi, Kaba Soul Singer, The Silk Trio, Lady Murr, and the Proverbs Reggae Band.
There will be musical sets by DJs Abby, Lance Reynolds, Rita Burns, Willard, and Underdog.
In the Josephine Butler Center, there'll be short documentary screenings curated by Jordan Strudwick, an art exhibition created by Adrian Ferguson of the Art of Noise Gallery, and a community tea presented by Milani Douglas.
The Jazz and Justice Festival, an afternoon of joy as resistance, Sunday, June 22nd, noon until 8 p.m. Details at wpfwfm.org.
WPFW.
Building a better world.
One broadcast at a time.
Yes, yes, yes. Come on, Jazz and Justice Festival. I like that. Welcome back to the Fellowship Hall, the sanctuary for queer folks, a part of the Inside Out Collective on WPFW 89.3 FM. We want you to join the conversation. So give us a call at 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. We have some special guests, Gwyth and Antonio from the Table Church DC, a non-denominational LGBTQIA led and affirmed church here in DC, getting all the nitty gritty, all the warm feels, all the things from this conversation. So we're very grateful to have you both here with us. Let's see. Should we go to the second sermonic selection, Jay, or because we're coming up on it, let's go to it.
Yeah, we should just go ahead.
Let's do it.
For our next sermonic selection, we have God's in Control by the Harlem Gospel Travelers. They're the only openly queer and non-binary identifying gospel group blending funk, soul, and R&B into their gospel songs. Let's take a listen. Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks, a part of the Inside Out Collective on WPFW. That was God's in Control by the Harlem Gospel Travelers. We're talking about Pride Month and the importance of LGBTQIA+ affirming religious organizations with Goethe and Antonio from the Table Church DC. Join the conversation and give us a call at 202-588-0893. Again, that's 202-588-0893. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see which one. Okay. Well, how do you, you kind of touched on it already, but let's go deeper. How do you interpret scripture regarding gender and sexuality?
I can start. So I feel like one, well, first of all, in terms of background, I actually studied religion in college. And so it was really interesting growing up in a Pentecostal community and then going to a secular university and reading the Bible with like scholars of Greek and Hebrew and Latin. And I think it's interesting the way in which the modern church, in particular, a lot of evangelical churches, both Black and white, read scripture, it's without context. They don't talk about how many of the prohibitions on queer people in the Old Testament were about idolatry and rituals that were associated with serving gods that were deemed to be false. Or in the New Testament, it doesn't talk about how when you look at the Greco-Roman worldview, many of the sexual acts that are being described were between what we would call pedophiles today. It was not two adults who are consenting. And even in legalism, a lot of these scriptures only really apply to same-sex male interactions. Like, queer people are not going to hell who are lesbian. Like, it's just like a fascinating way in which the scriptures are read selectively. And I think that, like, you know, it's really fascinating being in non-affirming churches before the table, but ironically being in churches that affirmed women in ministry. It was interesting what would happen. They would look at scriptures and say that women should be silent in the church and give those cultural contexts, but they wouldn't give cultural context to the ones about queer folk. At least the churches that oppress women and queers are like being consistent. But some of these churches don't, right? They're inconsistent. They uplift women, at least in some regards, and always, you know, oppress queer folk. And so for me, it's reading the Bible in a cultural context that we do in other portions of scripture. And so for me, once you understand that, it's really helpful. Because I think about it from this perspective as well. You know, a lot of the Bible is like either like correspondence from Paul to churches or sort of like historical records. You can't look at those out of context. Imagine if you saw one half of an email chain and tried to create a whole worldview around that. You get a lot of stuff wrong. And so I think for me, that's also part of our hermeneutic, looking at how scripture has been oversimplified in some ways in a way that usually leads to the oppression of marginalized communities.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Like people, like you have to read it within context. You have to know what was going on in that time. Was it a patriarchal society? Did women have rights? Were women property? So, you know, was when he said women should just be quiet, was that talking about a specific instance, not a whole way of life for women? Like context is so very important. And so many people, or so many Christians, I use air quotes, but you know, whatever, who just take the Bible like word for word, just like, this is what it says, this is what it means, this is what I'm going to do. And it just seems very foolish to me. I'm not saying this with hate, but I'm just like, we got to do better. We got to think critically. You have to think critically about things and realize at what time things were written, what was going on in that part of the world, that time in the world, and find God, find the love, find the peace, find the care, the compassion in it, not the exclusion, the I'm better than you, or the patriarchy, or the power in it. So I really resonate with what you said, Antonio. Thank you so much.
I wonder, does that, have you heard about this like movement of anti-intellectualism? They say it's like a wave hitting through America right now where people are like really pushing back
I can believe that. I'm like, is it long COVID? Like, is everybody not thinking critically? I'm like, is this long COVID? Is your, you know, I don't know, because none of this makes sense. None of this sounds like Jesus. Like, you're like, never mind these immigrants. Y'all poor people can't be outside. I don't know who's going to help you, but not my Christian behind. I won't do it. You know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not helping you because I don't want to go to hell for the sin of empathy. So sorry, buddy. You know?
That's the thing, though.
Absolutely. False prophets everywhere.
Yeah, clinging to just really their anger. I feel like a lot of people are really clinging to their anger on a lot of issues right now.
And just want to feel better than somebody else, or, you know, but we're all the same. We're all one family. God loves us all. Like, Jesus, is that really what Jesus would want you to do? Are you sure? Talk about like you love your family first, and then your neighbors, and then your countrymen, and then the immigrant. That's the order in love. And who said that? Not Jesus. Like, what? It's very, very crazy. I see you laughing over there, Gwyth. I see you. You want to chime in, say anything on this subject?
I'm just vibing with everyone, what everyone's sharing. And I will say that having co-led a queer Bible study where the theme was reframe, reclaim, and rejoice, focusing on the quote-unquote clobber passages to really actually show how those passages are affirming when you look at them as they were intended to be read and received in the context that they were written. It's not that there is this wave of anti-intellectualism and or sometimes just lack of common sense in understanding the way of Jesus. And for instance, when people read this narrative of Sodom and Gomorrah, they don't really take a step back to say, well, what did God say about that? When you actually look at it in the book of Ezekiel, God chimes in very clearly, and they make no mention of the sexuality. Mm-hmm. What they do mention is greed. They mention materialism. They mention injustice. They mention lack of hospitality, and they mention inequity. Nothing about the sexuality. That wasn't an issue. But why do a lot of Western churches skip over that chunk of Ezekiel? It might sound a lot like the American church. It might sound a little too much close to home. So I think really reading the narrative of the scriptures really highlights that the God of Naaman, the God of Rahab, the God of Ruth, the God of Cornelius, the God of Lydia, the God of every nation, every people group, every language, is also the God of queer folk. Yeah. And God affirms us, God welcomes us, God shines through us to show their nature, their character, and their beautiful internal community of love. So yeah, everything what you guys are sharing is spot on.
Yeah.
I would like to ask, what do you believe are some of the core values that are a part of Table Church DC? What are some of the core things that, you know, you see in your community?
Yeah, I think we have a few that we articulate publicly. We talk about radical friendship, revolutionary justice, root improvisation, relentless curiosity. And in many ways, to me, if you boil it down, those values are what I think are good foil to the sort of anti-intellectualism that we see happening. Because here's the thing, like, as Griff talked about, if you're actually curious about the clobber passages, the passages that are allegedly chronicling the demonization of queer people in the Bible, you actually find it doesn't take that much research to realize like they don't say what people say they say. It takes curiosity, right? And, you know, I think about it when you look at the Levitical prohibitions on shellfish or certain types of clothing to be worn. People are curious enough to find out why that doesn't apply in 2025. But they're not, you know, going to do an extra step for people who they want to find rationales to demonize anyway. And so for me, part of the Table Church's sort of like value is like really being curious, especially in a place like DC, right, where a lot of progressives don't follow religion. Being religious is deemed to be conservative. And so when you're at a progressive church, you have to, especially a queer person at a progressive church, like your gay friends aren't going to church. They're like, why do you do that every Sunday? And so you have to have a system where you can actually have people be curious as to why you show up. Like, what are you getting from this place that you can't get on U Street at Black Gay Brunch on Sunday, right? And I think that's one of the values we have is to like show people like, there's a beautiful gospel that is not incongruent with going to brunch after church, that you can, you know, find community, you can find spirituality. And that's the sad part when I think about going back to Pride, like so many people that we met at the festival, they grew up in church. And I will say a lot of our table members who are queer, we all grew up in church. We have no unchurched queer people. And I think that says something, like we're in some ways redigging old wells. I think that's one of our values. Like, as Griff said, reclaiming what people tried to steal from us and letting people know that like, we're also people who inherit the kingdom of God. And you can't kick us out no matter what your false theology tries to tell us.
Period. Yeah.
Oh, I really like that, because what it makes me think about is so many, what you're saying in terms of like so many young people grow up in church. And so many of them get such a experience of like fear and rejection. And if you don't do this and if you don't do that, it takes so much work to like get past some of those traumas that happen when you're really open and really young. So it's wonderful that folks are able to, you know, come back, because I feel like that's what ends up happening. A lot of people leave, say they, you know, not going to do this again. It was, you know, very traumatic. And then it's nice to see that people go back, have a place to go.
Absolutely. Because church hurt is real. And it's, I like how you said, like, a lot of the queers at Table Church, they were raised in church. Like, they, church is not new to them. You know, they, church hurt is real. And feeling pushed aside, marginalized, banished, feeling unloved is not a foreign feeling to a lot of LGBTQIA people who grew up in the church. So I can just imagine the vibe and the love that you feel when you hug each other at Table Church. And it's like, yo, welcome home. Like, you know, you are loved. I love you. We queer, you queer, everybody's queer. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a place for you. Like, you didn't have to, yes, you might've had to leave that specific religious organization, that specific community, because you were not loved and accepted. But you don't have to leave a community of people who are fellowshipping and loving God purely and loving each other. So that's amazing. And you also mentioned the emphasis of curiosity. That's amazing, because that's how you keep people from being sheep. Like, if you're not curious, if you just take everything for what somebody tells you, that what's in the pamphlet, or what's in the, I forgot what the Catholics call it. I went to Catholic school all my life. I know the little songs, all the things, but I forgot what that little booklet was that has each Sunday that he does the homily from. But if you just read that and not your Bible, or you're like, well, why is this way? Or why are we praying to Mary? Or why does this happen? You're creating a whole a group of sheep. You know what I mean? Go ahead, Antonio. I see your hand.
Yeah, I just want to add, you know, I think today's episode is about queer folk, but I think what's interesting about the table is that the same theologies that harm queer people also harm straight people. Mm. These theologies tell you that being Black is a sin and that you have to assimilate your culture to love Jesus. Mm. These theologies tell you that if you're a woman and don't follow purity culture, that you are a Jezebel, and God wants you to feel like shame for your body, right? Mm. I think that's what people don't realize. Like, the theologies that liberate queer people bring a lot more people with them. Like, our exodus is not by ourselves. It brings a lot more people from different races, ethnicities, sexual orientations, all with us to this promised land where Jesus, like, accepts us all and loves us all fully.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Isn't that how it works, though? When you liberate the least of them, everybody else is liberated, right? Or what's thought to be the least of them, everybody else is liberated. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Let's see. Yo, we're coming to an end, but not quite. But I just wanted to let you know how much that we've enjoyed having you all. When are your services? Where are your services? What's going on with that?
Sure. So the Table Church has two campuses, one in Fort Totten and one that meets downtown in near Gallery Place, Chinatown. And the services are on Sunday. The Fort Totten campus meets at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and then the downtown location meets at 5 p.m. on Sundays, and it accommodates people from various walks of life, various scheduling, various styles of worship, and it's always so nourishing for the soul and refreshing for the spirit.
Amazing. Yeah, so that's Fort Totten Sunday at 10, and then Gallery Place Sunday at 5. All right, that's a bet. Fellowship Hall will be taking a field trip. You know, y'all gotta say hey to us when you pull up. We'll actually hit y'all up to let you know. Or do y'all go to like either one, or are y'all both at Fort Totten? Are you both at Gallery Place?
I'm a morning person, Fort Totten.
Okay. Got you.
And I'm primarily at the downtown campus in Gallery Place.
Gotcha. Okay. So two field trips.
Across Colony.
Yes.
Got it. Two field trips. We'll definitely hit y'all up because this has been amazing. I would love to experience the Table Church DC.
So I think we are kind of our last sermonic selection, Devil.
Yeah. But thank y'all so much for being with us. Yes. We appreciate you. Like, this was amazing. Y'all are so apt and learned and so kind to have joined us on such short notice. So we're very grateful. Happy Pride. Shout out to the Table Church DC. And thank you for being guests on the Fellowship Hall.
Shout out to our listeners. Thank you. And much love from the Fellowship Hall. We're going to take us out with this last sermonic selection by Tasha Cobbs. Put praise on it.
Boop, boop.
With my name on it, there's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. Oh, there's a breakthrough in this room. It's got my name on it.
Peace, family. On Sunday, June 22nd, at WPFW's Jazz and Justice Festival at Malcolm X Park, WPFW invites community filmmakers to join the music. During the festival, in the Josephine Butler Park Center next to Malcolm X Park, WPFW will host a community film showcase celebrating liberatory stories of resistance, resilience, and rhythm. Short works, 12 minutes or less, whether first-time experiments or seasoned productions, will be welcomed for submission at films@wpfw.org. Submissions will remain open through midnight, Wednesday, June 18th. Technical polish is secondary to vision, heart, and voice. This is an open call, and there is space for every perspective that fits under the 12-minute time limitation and reflects our community's values. Once more, the submission email address is films@wpfw.org. WPFW, making the world a better place, one broadcast at a time.
WPFW, in collaboration with Parks and People, will have a Jazz and Justice Festival June 22nd from 12 to 8 p.m. at Malcolm X Park. Malcolm X Park is atop Meridian Hill at 16th and Euclid Northwest, six blocks from the Columbia Heights Green Line Metro and next to the 14th and 16th Street bus lines. The Josephine Butler Center sits adjacent to it. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
That's for the struggle. That's for the pain.
Hi, I'm Robin Holder.
And this is Miyuki Williams.
The Jazz and Justice Festival happens Sunday, June 22nd, from noon until 8 p.m.
Presented by WPFW in collaboration with Washington Parks and People, the event is an activation of music, poetry, social justice teachings, elder circle, visual arts, wellness, children's activities, and more. It takes place in Malcolm X Park and the Josephine Butler Center, located at 16th and Euclid Streets Northwest.
Performers in the park include Saiz, Kamaladi, Kaba Soul Singer, The Silk Trio, Lady Murr, and the Proverbs Reggae Band.
There will be musical sets by DJs Abby, Lance Reynolds, Rita Burns, Willard, and Underdog.
In the Josephine Butler Center, there'll be short documentary screenings curated by Jordan Scott.